This is Adam Minahan. I am the host of The Catholic Man Show, heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. And I am having the opportunity to sit down and talk to Mr. Will Bloomfield. Will is an assistant attorney general for the Michigan Department of Attorney Generals and lives in Lansing, Michigan with his wife and five beautiful children. He is a graduate of Franciscan University and has a law degree at Ave Maria School. So, Will, I appreciate you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Yes, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to kind of just go through a few questions. Will, not only are you an assistant attorney general, but you are the founder and owner, I guess, of the Sacred Heart series, which is a new series of products featuring sacred art. Tell us a little bit of exactly what Sacred Art Series is and maybe how you made this idea that you came up with a reality.
Well, yes, and I think talking about the Sacred Art Series will be far more interesting to your listeners than telling them about the practice of law in the state of Michigan. But the Sacred Art Series, really, it's a side project of mine that began 3 years ago, and I'll give you the genesis of the project and then explain exactly what it is. But I'm a father of five, and about 3 years ago my oldest was five. He's now eight. And I was helping him learn to read. I've since helped some of my other kids learn to read. And one of the things I discovered as I was teaching him to read was that he needed large print, and he needed pictures, and he needed not too many words on the page, and that if any of these other items were there or were lacking, that it was an impediment to his ability to read. And as a father, as a Catholic father, what I really wanted my son to be able to read, maybe not when he was five, but as soon as possible, were the stories of the life of Jesus Christ that are found in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And these stories really are simple stories. They're told directly. They're beautiful stories. And I wanted my children to have access to these stories from a very early age. And as this idea came to me that maybe there's some way for me to publish something that would combine these elements that are beneficial to a young child of large print, artwork, illustrations, that is, story-by-story format, basically the format that you would find in a children's Bible, but to actually feature the full text of the Bible, of the gospel stories, and take out some of the other impediments, the small print that you find in most Bibles, the footnotes that you find in most Bibles. This would be designed for children or for adults in a devotional setting, not as a study Bible, but as something that you'd sit down and read story-by-story or take and pray during your Lectio Divina. So that's basically the idea that came to me. And at the time, I had a brother and a sister that were involved in self-publishing projects. And this gave me the motivation to take this idea and actually implement it, as opposed to just having an idea, like so many of us have good ideas, but we fail to implement. So mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was aware of some means to do this, and I began as a self-publishing project through Amazon. And once I saw the first draft of the self-publishing project, I realized this has potential to be something really beautiful. And it's a shame to just publish it as a soft cover book in a flimsy binding. I should do this all the way. I should invest the money and get a professional printer to print me a beautiful book. Mm-hmm. So that's the genesis of the Sacred Art Series. And what it ultimately is it's a book of the Gospels. This at least is the first product. It's a book of a complete text of the Gospels of St. Luke and St. John in a story-by-story format with beautiful illustrations of sacred art. My descriptions can't do it justice. You should go to the website sacredartseries.com and take a look at it, and even better is when I can show it to somebody in their hands as I describe it. But I think that it really has filled a niche that nobody else had done. I wouldn't have produced this Bible, this Sacred Art Series, had it existed. But nobody else had created a Bible with beautiful art and large story-by-story telling of the Gospels. So I did it, and I think it came out really well.
I got to agree with you. I'm holding it right now in my hands, the Holy Gospels of St. Luke and St. John from Sacred Art Series. And I got to tell you, Will, that before I received it, you know, I wasn't sure how much I was going to really enjoy it. You know, I wasn't sure. Here's my thing. In order for me to appreciate art, I'm not an art guy. Like, I can't look at something and really appreciate it for what it is unless it's just really of high quality or it's beautiful. You know, if it's beautiful, then I can be like, yes, I know I can appreciate that beauty and I can see what it's for and I like it a lot. And I wasn't sure if I was going to like this because, like you said, if it was a soft, flimsy, like paperback, I don't know if I would have liked it as much. But, you know, this is a nice, it's gold trimmed. The pictures are very crisp. The pages are very nice. Like you said, the text is very big. So I do really enjoy it. And I think that you're right on when you say that, that it's for maybe a Lectio Divina or, you know, an hour of adoration as you're reading through. This would be a perfect time, not like you said, for studying, but more for storytelling, more for contemplating the Gospels and Christ's life. And you know, you had mentioned that, you know, this is kind of for families or for younger children we're dads here, and as dads we're the spiritual leaders of our household, and so we have to make sure that we are teaching our children, you know, about Christ and about His church. And so how do you think that art can help families grow in holiness? How do you think that art can portray the picture of Christ's life or the church?
Right. Well, and let me jump slightly, and then I'll answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some ways that that this book can be used, and one of the ideas that I had for this book was that it could be used as a great First Communion gift for a child. And what I'm thinking here is that once a child is 7, 8 years old, they are ready for the Gospels, and the First Communion is a perfect time for that child to sort of graduate from those children's Bibles. So one of the ideas here was to produce something that was truly beautiful, that would be a gift quality item that you could give to a child for First Communion. And that ties into your question, how can art help families grow in holiness? Well, that's sort of the first way I have. The more practical way is a book like this, it can truly generate a love of God in a child. This is the stories of Christ. Those stories are beautiful. Just the words alone are beautiful. Well, words accompanied by beautiful images, I think, can help to impress those stories even deeper onto the child. I want my children to be deeply versed in the gospel stories. I want them to be so rooted in them that it's a part of who they are. I want them to know the scriptures well. And I also want them to have vivid images of those stories. And so if I'm flipping through my book here and I stumble upon the baptism of Jesus, which features a painting by Bartolomé Esteban Murillo, one of the great Spanish painters of the 17th century. And it's my hope that after many years of my son and my other children reading this book, they will have those images as well as the stories deeply impressed in them. So that's one of the first ways that art can help families grow in holiness. A second way is as they continue to get older, and this goes for adults as well, art really, and sacred art in particular, is designed to help us to worship God. Sacred art in particular has grown up around the Mass and around the liturgy, and it was designed for the great cathedrals and the beautiful churches to help us understand the realities which are hidden and are often mysterious that occur in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so this sacred art should aid us in praying and meditating and contemplating these mysteries. And that can be both while we're in a liturgical celebration in the church at Mass, but also in a private devotional setting when you're sitting in the evening in the quiet or in the morning in an adoration chapel or maybe in the corner of your house before your kids have gotten up. And you can sit with a book like this. You can read the text and you can enter a little more deeply into your meditation. You can use the art to enter into the mystery and the story that is told on the, in the pages of the Gospels.
Yeah, I can definitely see this being a book, like what you were saying, affirming what you were saying, that this could be used as, you know, right before family prayer, before the family goes to bed and the kids go off to bed, and you know, you may be about to pray your family rosary or family prayers, you know, to sit down and share with each other the stories of the Gospels and use this book to do it. And I think that would be very beneficial. But I gotta tell you, Will, that there's a lot of great pictures in here. There's a lot of great art in here. There's a whole lot almost about every other page. Sometimes every page. How it had to be difficult for you. Had to be difficult to pick out the art, and then also it had to be difficult to be able to get the permission to use it, I would think. How did you go about picking the art, and was it difficult to get permission to use it?
Well, I am a lawyer, and it's helpful that I have
there
some,
you go.
some knowledge of the law, and I've been interested in copyright law and the public domain. Not that that's an area that I practice in regularly, but one of the basics of copyright law is that items that are essentially outside of the creator's lifetime, about 100 years old as a general rule, are in the public domain. And the beautiful thing here is that I like older art. I like particularly the art of the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. And I don't think it's an accident that I like the art from this period. This was a period of a deep Catholic culture throughout Europe. This is the era of Christendom. And the art that was developed in this period is the fruit of an authentically Catholic culture. And so it shouldn't surprise us that this is particularly beautiful art. A lot of it is rooted in a life of prayer. You have artists such as Fra Angelico, who was beatified by, I believe it was Pope John Paul II, it may have been Pope Benedict a few years ago. And these were artists that, in Fra Angelico's case, would take the fruit of his prayer and share it in paint. He'd share it in these beautiful frescoes that he would compose. So going back a little more directly to answer your question, I had this huge treasure trove of art to search through, because most of the world's great art, most of the art that I was looking for, is already in the public domain. It's hundreds of years old, has long been in the public domain. So we also have the internet, and combining this public domain art with the internet means that many of these images have now been digitized and are available on the internet. And once I began searching, it was pretty easy to find various repositories of these digital images, then to find the highest quality versions that I could find that depicted particular scenes. I didn't want to just include art. The goal of these illustrations is to illustrate a particular story. So the page I'm looking at now is the Raising of Lazarus, and there's a full image page next to it. It's a 15th century image of the raising of Lazarus. And a pretty easy rule for me was also to look for artists that I was familiar with, such as Fra Angelico and the Michelangelos and Raphael. But also I came in my searches to develop an interest in many other artists that I wasn't aware of. Perhaps the one that I've grown to like the most, that I had never heard of, which is a scandal, is Duccio. And I have since discovered that Duccio he was a Sienese artist. I believe it was the 13th century. He was a contemporary of Giotto, who was in the Florentine school, also in Italy during this time period. And Duccio is revered as one of the great artists, and some of his paintings are some of the most valuable pieces in museums such as the National Gallery in Washington, D.C., or the Louvre and the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So I could see that these images that I was choosing and that I was naturally drawn to also were of an artistic quality, because they hung in some of the greatest museums in the world or were in some of the most beautiful cathedrals. So that made it easy to know that I was making good choices.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, a lot of the art that you picked was from, you know, that maybe the 15th, 16th, 17th century. maybe the 14th century is the Renaissance. Am I right? Is 14th century the Renaissance? Is that right, or am I being ignorant?
Yeah, the 14th century, probably a little later, more like the 16th century would be more the high Renaissance. But in the several hundred years even before that, I've come to find that my favorite period was really the high Middle Ages. The 1200s is when the art really started to take off in Western Europe, and that was Duccio was early in that period, as was Giotto. But then in those several hundred years, actually leading up to the Renaissance, there's some of my favorite artwork, and it's because these painters, they weren't trying to capture a photograph. In some of the more Renaissance art, and I love Caravaggio and some of these others, but their paintings are almost photographic, and I include some of those works in here as well. But I like the paintings that came a little earlier, the Fra Angelicos and the Giottos and the Duccios. They seem to have this liturgical sense that the artwork was meant to help us contemplate God, to help us leave the world and enter into the heavenly realm. And so a photograph doesn't do that as well as a painting that may be a little more stylized. It might not be quite photographic, but it helps us. It should be aimed at calling us to prayer and meditation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting that it seems like that there was this gap of good, you know, of quality art. It seems like that the Catholic Church, you know, the Catholic Church made art beautiful. You know, the architecture, the paintings, the music. I mean, there's so much that the Catholic Church, the Church in general, you know, gave for the art scene. But it seems like that we lost that identity somewhere along the way. But funny as it is, it seems like that art scene is kind of starting to pick back up in the Catholic culture. Have you noticed that as well? Have you noticed that there's been like this kind of uptick of more Catholic art being pushed out these days?
Well, I don't know that we're quite at the level of the High Middle Ages or the
No.
I think you're right. I agree with your sense that art in the Catholic world has fallen over the centuries, and really, as I mentioned earlier, I think the greatest art was the product. It is the fruit of an authentically Catholic culture. To be human is to want to create something beautiful, to share in, we are created by God and we want to be co-creators in God's creation. And if we are rooted in a beautiful Catholic liturgy, which is what the High Middle Ages and the Renaissance had, they had beautiful architecture springing up around the liturgy, beautiful music around the liturgy, beautiful art around the liturgy. This is the fruit of an authentically Catholic culture. So to the extent that you think that art may be reviving, it would be my sense that's because perhaps we're getting a renewed sense of the sacred in the Catholic liturgy. We've had several years of confusion, I would say, that have followed the Second Vatican Council, and we haven't exactly been sure of our Catholic identity. But as we return to the roots and the beauty of the Catholic liturgy, I think we will start to see a restoration of Catholic art, both in architecture, in music, and in art. And it's my hope that we see that. It will be the fruit of an authentic Catholic spirituality.
Let's keep praying about it, for sure.
Amen.
Hey, let's talk really quick. You have not only the Holy Gospels of St. Luke and St. John, but you also have this really cool rosary flipbook. Tell us a little bit about the flipbook and what gave you the inspiration and how it can help families pray together more.
Yeah, so my goal for the Sacred Art series really is to help families grow in holiness. So the first product was the Holy Gospels of St. Luke and St. John. And as I was developing that book, I had the opportunity to visit the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. And so as I was going through and actually seeing some of the paintings I'd already selected for my Gospels, I stumbled upon a painting of the Rosary that showed all 15 traditional mysteries of the Rosary. And it was painted for Habsburg nobility, 1600s, 1500s, beautiful painting. And I thought, I don't know that I've ever seen a series of the Rosary made just like this. And since I had my mind on publishing, I thought, you know, Catholic families could really use good, beautiful images of the rosary to help them pray the rosary. Everyone's always suggesting that the rosary is a great devotion for Catholic families. But it's also pretty difficult, especially with young children.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's abstract. I mean, you can tell your kids the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, but unless you show them some image of what the Annunciation is, or describe it to them in words every time, and that has its limitations.
Yeah, I mean, most of them can't even pronounce Annunciation, much less know what Annunciation means.
That's right. So I was, during this time when I saw this painting, we were trying to pray the rosary pretty diligently as a family, especially at least a decade a day. And I realized that it would be great if I could share these images not only with my family, but with a broader audience. So I developed, it's really in the form of a desktop calendar. And again, I encourage your listeners to go to sacredartseries.com where they can see a picture. And I have a large version and a smaller version. The large is 7x9 inch, and the smaller is 4x5. It easily sits on a small desk. I keep my small one right next to my computer at work. And each page on this desktop calendar, which stands on its own on your desk or on your altar or your mantle, each page displays one of these 15 images of the traditional rosary. And so as you're praying, you announce the first joyful mystery, you flip to that page, and then once you get to the second joyful mystery, you or maybe one of your little kids, they tend to really like this, they can run up there and flip to the next page. And it really helps both children and adults to remain focused on the mysteries, because as we know, we're not supposed to just mindlessly be reciting these prayers. We are supposed to be meditating either on the text of the Hail Mary itself or, more particularly, on the mysteries of the rosary. So these images help to prevent distraction, to call the reciter of the rosary back to the mystery at hand. And then, of course, if you don't have your rosary flipbook at hand and you've prayed with your rosary flipbook enough, you should be able to close your eyes and easily remember some of those images. And that's a great way to pray the rosary. So I've found it greatly helpful for my family, and it's my hope that it will really help other families. And I'm kind of astounded that something like this didn't exist. But once again, I wouldn't have created it if I could have easily bought it on Amazon. So I had to create it myself.
And you know, something else that I really like about the flipbook, the idea of, you know, as I have young children, and a lot of our listeners have young children as well. And as we all know, praying is very hard to do. It's with young children, they get distracted very easily. I mean, as adults, we get distracted very easily, much less little children. But the flipbook gives the little kid a purpose, like of responsibility. Like, it's my job to flip to the next page, and it gives them a sense of participating in the prayer and knowing when to flip the page and knowing when, you know, which each one, and by naturally doing that, they're thinking about and seeing those images over and over and over again. So I just like the idea of the kids being in charge of being able to flip to the next page and giving them a sense of participation in the prayer.
Right, and I'll add that as well as helping the kids to participate, it's also a great catechetical tool for the children, as is the rosary in general. Here you have, in my original rosary flipbook, you have the 15 traditional mysteries of the rosary. That's 15 events in the life of Jesus and Mary that every child should know and should be so deeply embedded in them that they never forget what these mysteries are. And then in the 5 luminous mysteries, which after I created the first rosary flipbook, I wanted to have an adjunct with the 5 luminous mysteries. Here we have, again, 5 more mysteries in the life of Jesus and Mary that fit beautifully in, but no one in the 15th century was painting those a set of 20 mysteries of the rosary, so I had to do it separately. I've gotten some questions, why do I have 2? Well, that's essentially the reason, is there was no set of all 20 that I could find that was of that same high quality. So I took images from Fra Angelico and Giotto and merged them into a separate little book, so that if people want to pray the Luminous Mysteries, they can also get that at my website, sacredartseries.com.
So do you have plans of doing the Holy Gospels of St. Mark and St. Luke, St. Mark and St. Matthew as well?
Well, I also do. I do get that question from time to time, and really, it depends on how successful the original Gospels of Luke and John are for me. This is an expensive project to do, and as I said, this isn't my day job. This is a side job, but I believed in it, so it was worth taking a risk and spending money and buying spending the money on the fine printing and getting these books. And I do still have them in inventory, so. Really, the sales of this volume will help me to consider whether other editions of the Gospels are feasible. It is expensive, but one thing that I am pleased with the Gospels of Luke and John, and one reason I chose these, was because Luke has the infancy narrative, and John is, as well as Luke, is a synoptic gospel, mm-hmm. and then John is a non-synoptic gospel. So really, with this volume, you have a one volume edition of the life of Jesus Christ that you can give to a child and say, here's the life of Jesus Christ. Read a story every day. And so I've already, even if I never get to Matthew and Mark, I've already achieved a major goal, which is to have that one volume life of Christ. If I am able to go on to other editions, I probably before I go to Matthew and Mark, I would turn to Genesis and Exodus, the narrative Bible, the narrative books of the Old Testament that include so many great stories that have been illustrated in art. That's the key, is to find, this project can't work for every book of the Bible because not all of them are narrative and not all of them have been depicted as well in art. But I do think that the idea could be extended to a few other volumes. So hopefully I'm able to get to that, but this book has been out for 2 years now, and it's doing okay, but it's not rocketing up the Amazon charts just yet. So I need to sell some more before I'll be able to proceed with any other projects.
There you go, folks. That's your cue. These are great for your family. So make sure you go and I think it's very worthwhile for you going on to Amazon and getting these. Well, I got to ask you. I have two questions that I try to ask every man that I interview because I'm always interested in learning and hearing other people. My first question is what is your favorite way to pray together as a family?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we have a favorite way. We have several ways that we try to pray every day, and my father taught us the Angelus, and I think that's a great way to pray. And then there are several other specific times throughout the day. I try to encourage my kids to do their morning prayer as I do mine every morning when I get out of bed. But other good family prayers are certainly the prayers before and after meals. And we like to read the gospel of the day following dinner. And I found that is a very good practice. It incorporates the gospel into the daily life of the family as well as the reading selected by the church for us. And it's a great way to gradually expose your children to more and more stories from the gospel. And then at night, we always do night prayer followed by the Marian antiphon of the night. I like to sing Gregorian chant for my parish, so we always sing the Gregorian antiphon or the Marian antiphon in Latin in Gregorian chant. So in Advent, that would be the Alma Redemptoris Mater. But there are four Marian antiphons. So those are some of the ways we like to pray as a family.
Awesome, awesome. And so my second...
And I should append, and sorry, Adam, I should append to that, that of course we also do the rosary. I mentioned it earlier, but we try to do a decade at least every day. And we have been adventurous and even tried the 54-day full rosary novena a few months back, and we made it through all 54 days, all five decades. But most days, we just try to do one decade, and the Rosary Flipbook helps us to do that.
Very nice, very nice. So my second question that I always like to ask is who is your favorite saint? I try to ask this with every guy, but who's your favorite saint of the church, and why?
Well, as I said, I'm a lawyer, so perhaps it comes as no surprise that I like St. Thomas More. and have for many years. Obviously, he's an inspirational saint, a man of integrity, a family man, a prayerful man, a man that was in the world but was never of the world. He was so firmly rooted in his faith that when the chips were down, he was true to the faith and true to Jesus Christ. And that's what I aspire to be as a Catholic husband, as a Catholic father, as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. I think you even have a picture of St. Thomas More in the Holy Gospels. Is that correct?
I think I included the famous painting of him by Hans Holbein, and I'm trying to recall. I fit that neatly in. It's not exactly relevant. Obviously, St. Thomas More wasn't in the Gospels, but I think I included him as an example of one of the parables in St. Luke's Gospel.
That's correct. Yeah, the cost of following Jesus in Luke 14.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So, Will, this has been a lot of fun. We're running out of time, so let everybody know how they can get a hold of the Holy Gospels of St. Luke and St. John and the Rosary Flip Book.
Yes, well, you can go to sacredartseries.com, and there are links to all the products, and those links will take you to amazon.com, and I keep the book stocked at Amazon, and it's an easy way to buy because you can one click, and if you're an Amazon Prime, your shipping is free, and the items also go on sale from time to time, so you can follow that either at the Sacred Art Series blog or at our Sacred Art Series Facebook page. So if you like the Sacred Art Series Facebook page, then that will help you stay tuned to any sales that are occurring or giveaways from time to time.
Very good, very good. Well, Will, I appreciate it so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy man, a father of five, so I know that you're busy, but I appreciate you taking the time to spend with me and talk to me a little bit about Christ and His Church.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me on the show, Adam.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure talking to Mr. Will Bloomfield from Lansing, Michigan, Sacred Art Series, sacredartseries.com. You can follow him on Facebook as well. I am Adam Minahan, host of The Catholic Man Show, heard Thursdays at 7 p.m. You can catch us on thecatholicmanshow.com, our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the social medias. As always, we are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.